to go. So don't worry. Since this will be our last class before we break for Christmas and year and New Year. So I hope you all will have the understanding to celebrate this Christmas, coming Christmas and year end holiday in a more heedful way. You will not be like before, tend to be heedless during festival. Then after that, Chinese New Year also same. Actually, these are the festivals that can allow you to train your mind, cultivate the Dhamma. Dhamma is everywhere actually, but during festival is the best time to learn. Because you tend to get carried away during festival. You eat a lot, you talk a lot, you have a lot of joy, then you gossip a lot. Then you meet up, you catch up with family, friend or what, then you start talking. Then after that, they mention somebody, oh, then you start gossip. But if you have the Dhamma, it's different. You can still join them, listen, and actually develop the understanding to help them. And sometimes they got certain problem, then you can smile. Then after that you say, yeah, this is very common. Not only you, everybody has it. Then you start to talk. Then that time, no need to use the word Dhamma. You just explain to them how you become a better person. Last time I also don't understand all these things, traditional Buddhists. We believe in a lot of things, but later on, as we go through life, we learn. Then we realize there were certain very important nature's law or truth that governs life and existence. So once we understand this law, we can improve our lives. Then we can become a much better person. Then we can be a blessing to more and more people. Then if you can actually project that virtue in you, the understanding in you, I tell you, they will listen to you. Because I have tried it many, many times over the last 30 years. Every time I go somewhere or I meet up with people, initially they don't know me. I just sit quiet, meeting, sometimes consultant meeting. Then after a while, we are early. Or after the meeting, they got nothing to do, then they chat with you. Then after a while, somebody will ask, hey, Mr. Teo, you seem to know so many things. You say, can we catch up one day? I say, can. Anything you want to know, you can ask me. Then later on, a lot of things just happen. Then they find the advice very unique, very, very unique, very different. And it helped them so much. And I came across one Christian lady, lawyer. I tell you, you won't believe this one. He's a very good lawyer. He got her own firm and all things. So as a Christian, she got some problem actually, because of her daughter and all those things. But she has very strong faith in her religion. Then when she met me, because he saw the way I do things, very different from other people. Then he said, you want to learn from me? Then he came to know I'm a Buddhist. I meditate. Then he asked me a lot of very difficult questions. Then I teach her how to solve it. He said, I'm Christian. So what? Christian also can do it. I said, this is nature's law. Then he starts to do. Then he realized really what I told her was true. Then I explained to her. I said, actually Christianity is not much different if you understand. You believe, I said, in Jesus means what? You believe in the whole embodiment of Jesus' love and compassion, isn't it? Then if you really, really sincerely follow his advice to keep the Ten Commandments, you are like a Buddhist, Anasana. You avoid all evil. Have love, have compassion. And the nature's law is, I don't say law of karma, is it? Cause and effect. Do good because good, do evil because evil. And she can understand, no? That's why I say, it is your goodness, your kindness, that actually bring forth this condition for you to be lucky and to be happy. If you cheat people, deceive people, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, or do evil because evil. Then the same thing come back to you. He say, yeah, what you say is very true. We experience that in life. And then he starts to change. He said, that's why now I learn to do things differently. Doesn't want to cheat, doesn't want to deceive. So she realized after she starts to do that, she get more clients and more. Then she get more business. Then the daughter also finally recover. I teach her to do it in certain way. Then I explain to her why she like that, because some past karmic obstruction thing. She as a mother, she can feel the daughter got two personality on. A very fierce one. Very young only at that time. Or now quite big again. Now I think form two or form three really, I think. And she very happy. She always tell people, he said, he point at me, he said, Mr. Teo is my sifu, he said. Even the husband also, he tell the husband. And he was so happy. And every time, he said, I bring her luck. So a lot of things. So, just like what I tell our brother here, if they are from a different faith, not a problem, because Buddha's teaching is very strange. You don't have to be a Buddhist to understand his teaching and to learn his teaching. That's why the Buddha said, you don't even have to believe what he say. He only share with you the truth, Dhamma, nature's truth. Anybody can learn, is it? But after you learn, you find it useful, then it's up to you. If you want to take refuge, you take refuge. If you don't want, also, not compulsory. And you don't have to call yourself a Buddhist, because during his time, they don't call themselves Buddhists. Understand? Buddhism come about because he's the Buddha, they add in ISM. Then his follower, they call Buddhists. But that time, there was no such thing as Buddhism or Buddhist. It's whether you take refuge in the Triple Gem, or you just come as a lay person to learn from him. It's not a problem. Okay, we wait for another 1 minute, then we can start. So in the meantime, you can learn to relax, compose your mind, develop the sadha and the virya, the spiritual faculties. Spiritual faculties are very important if you want to progress along the path of Dhamma, because nothing actually help you in your cultivation except your spiritual faculties. Without them, the hindrance, the opposite five will be very powerful, and your mind will have a lot of problems. That's why they are called mental hindrances, pancha nivaranas. So when they are strong and active, means you don't have spiritual faculties at all. But when your spiritual faculty is cultivated, then you start to see it will slowly replace the five hindrances. Then you become different. When you have spiritual faculty, it means what? Your mind is very composed, very calm. You have very strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then after that, you have virya. It will drive you to cultivate. Then the moment you cultivate, sati will come, mindfulness will come. When you are mindful, you are not heedless. You seldom think. You are most of the time aware. That's why you become heedful. That's why your life changed. No more heedless living. Heedful living arise. From these three spiritual faculty, the last two automatically arise. And then when the five come to be the spiritual faculty, the hindrance cease to be. And I really explain how to counter them, because no need to do anything about the hindrance. Just cultivate the spiritual faculty. That's why you must maintain devotion. Pre-puja, post-puja, devotional practice. Develop the faith and pay respect mindfully. Develop the very strong sadha and virya. And when the spiritual faculty is there, I tell you, you receive Dhamma very fast on. Because I did that before. And I come to understand all this through my own cultivation and practices during the early days. Okay, now we can start. So, just relax your body and mind. Compose your mind. Then develop the Sadha Virya. Then we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. After that, we will start the puja officially. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dithiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dithiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dithiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya maja pakma datana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully the Lord Buddha. Sisters in the Dhamma. Just relax your body and mind. Maintain some form of awareness or attention. Then we can start. Okay, before I start, I just want to let you all know, because earlier on, I think quite a number of you have donated for that printing of the Dhamma book called Ancient Path in Mandarin. So my wife has managed to get Pearly to deliver the books. They just arrived, I think yesterday or today, I forgot. Oh, I think yesterday. So she has brought along some, and those who have already donated the number of copies that you requested, after the class you can get it from her. Then there are quite a number of copies for free distribution too. You got anybody who is interested in the Mandarin version, if they are Chinese educated, it will be very useful. Yeah. So that is just for your info. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for tonight, yeah. Anybody who is first time, completely new. 1, 2. Oh, quite a number. Oh yeah. Mama Suri's daughter also, huh? Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. So, you are most welcome, huh? So, this is an informal session, okay? Means informal in the sense that it's something that you can decide for yourself. You can come anytime, actually, and go anytime. There is no formality, yeah. But informal doesn't mean you can do what you like. Huh? That is something else, okay? Informal, in that sense, there is no formality to restrict you, eh? As to what time to come and what time to leave. If you got something on, you need to leave early, you can just go. Don't have to even ask permission. Eh? Don't worry. Then if you are late, you just text Suyan, and then he will open the automatic gate for you. Okay, now to let you all understand what we do here, we call it the Thursday class, meditation class, because most of us are Buddhist based, so we follow the Buddhist meditation. So most people are very interested in insight meditation. The spelling is INSIGHT, to develop insight into phenomena so that you can have the wisdom to enable you to understand life so that you can live a happy life. And this style of meditation sometimes is called vipassana. Vipassana is a Pali word. So vipassana got two syllables. We, then pasana. We, the meaning is the three characteristics of nature, universal characteristics. All of phenomena in this universe, they exhibit this characteristic. That's why it's very unique. The Buddha said they have these characteristics of impermanence. Nothing is in a continuous state of eternity. Within the conditioned world, is it? Everything is in a state of flux, ever-changing, impermanent. And that characteristic, you can see and witness them every moment, every instant, in all phenomena. Then if you cling, grasp, and hold on to all these phenomena, the next characteristic will arise. He calls it suffering or unsatisfactoriness. When you want things your way, which is not nature's way, then you will develop suffering of mind that attach and cling on to all these things, not understanding the nature's law that governs them. Everything's obey a set of nature's law, the boundary condition of you, this universe. So this is the second universal characteristic, suffering or dukkha. Then the last one is, they call it anatta or non-self or empty nature. This is a universal characteristic that is very difficult to understand. But for those who meditate, you can insight into impermanent. Automatically, the other two characteristics will be understood. Suffering and anatta or empty nature leading to non-self nature. So all this is what we are interested in. So we stand for these three characteristics. Pasana is to insight into these three characteristics so that you can become enlightened, awakened. Once you understand these three characteristics, your wisdom is very different. You will understand that this so-called human being or form and mind is not what you think you are. And you will get a shock that this is not you, not me, and something else. You can develop all this understanding as you meditate and go through the training. So vipassana is not that difficult in that sense. You only need to silence your mind to insight into this characteristic. But to be able to do it is not that easy. For those who understand, maybe it can be quite easy. But most people find it very difficult because they don't have clear explanation from people who have realized or understood. So in that sense, you cannot develop it if you cannot understand what this thing is. Whatever thing you do in life, you don't understand what you want to do, you cannot excel. Understand? If you want to become an engineer, at least you know the focus is to be an engineer. Then you know this is a course you must take in the uni, and then there's a possibility. Or you go to the college, the other alternative way. But you don't know what you are doing, then you are like lost in the career line. Then the other good thing about this meditation is not only it develops wisdom and transform you completely and make you a different person that is free of all what they call negativity. And because of that, you will also have the good and noble life that will enable you to live a happy and peaceful life that is free of all suffering too. Because you have wisdom, you will not be entangled anymore. Your mind will not lash on to things anymore. Your mind will not get afflicted by situation and condition anymore. So these are the very, very important advantages that can come with this type of meditation. Then the other benefits are what you can see on the banner up there. Benefits of this meditation is when you start to train your mind, you can develop what they call inner peace. Inner peace is very useful. It makes you very peaceful, very calm, as compared to the agitated state of mind. The mind that is agitated, restless, full of fear, worry, anxiety is a very, very negative state. So in order to recuperate from all this stress that you are exposed to in life, meditation is a very good way to actually recuperate from your what they call hectic life situation. So as you train your mind to be silent and peaceful, this inner peace will arise because you don't think anymore. When you don't think, you don't have worry, you don't have fear, you don't have anxiety. You are peaceful because you are silent. But the moment thought arises, for you to recall your unhappy moments or your fear that you have get yourself into, then your mind becomes restless very fast. It starts to get entangled. Then all of the negativity that haunt you, make you miserable, will start to afflict you. So inner peace is very useful. Then when you have inner peace, it's very easy to get inner well-being. When you are already peaceful, you radiate inner well-being to yourself. You wish yourself well and happy, well and happy. Each and every cell within your physical body and your entire consciousness, your being, that well-being and joy and happiness, it will actually give you a lot of positive metta energy. And all this will actually boost up your immune system, reverse all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and sadness. So inner well-being is the second benefit, which is equally useful. When your mind is very composed, trained in meditation, inner well-being and inner peace will be the fruition of what you have done. Then it will bring about clarity of mind, which is the third benefit. And when you have clarity, you understand what is going on. You can understand situation and condition very fast. And because of that, you can see things clearly as they are. And it will help you to develop what they call wisdom or understanding. And this wisdom, you need it to live life, to resolve all your life problems and situation. Then when wisdom arises, your mind is very peaceful, will no longer get entangled. Then you will have good sleep, no more insomnia. Then you will be able to do things very efficiently. If you are a student, you will study better. If you are a career person, you will do your work much, much better and more efficient. So these are all the very important six type of benefits that can come along with this type of meditation. So at least you know why, if you learn this meditation, not only you look forward to become enlightened one day, but you will have all this benefit come your way. So with this understanding, I will now go into the meditation instruction. I will give you the instruction to train your mind to develop this ability to meditate so that you can understand clearly how you can do it, not only when you are here, when you are at home, in your office or any place of silence, you can just meditate. Okay, you look at the whiteboard. There are basically two sets of mental faculties and mental hindrance. On the left hand side is called the mental hindrance, five of them. On the right is the five spiritual faculties. These are very important dhammas that the Buddha talked about. He said human beings' problem is they cannot become peaceful and develop this inner peace or meditative mind is because of the mental hindrance. Like the word denote, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, understand? From entering the meditative state of peace, inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. And the hindrances are very real. The first two is a pair, sensual desire and ill will. It has to do with your senses, like the word denote. So every time you see something, hear something, think of something, you tend to react to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. That reaction is positive or negative. If it's some sense experience that you like, then you develop the craving for it. The sensual desire will arise, and you get yourself preoccupied with that sense experience. Then your mind is lost in that experience. You're no longer aware. There is no more awareness and clarity. That's why you become heedless, lost in thought. The opposite is the same. When you don't like something, unpleasant feeling, envy, jealousy, hatred and all those things, ill will, you get yourself preoccupied with that situation. Again, it's a hindrance. It hinders your mind from having the awareness or clarity to see things clearly, to live life, to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You cannot. So you keep on reacting to what you see, what you hear, and what you think, and your sense experience make your mind restless, heedless, agitated. Then the third hindrance is sloth and torpor. The meaning is lethargic mind, sleepiness. So when you don't see the importance of meditation, when you come here to meditate, you feel sleepy. You don't know what you are doing. You force yourself into a situation like torturing yourself. Then your thoughts start to wander and tell you, why so stupid, come here and torture yourself. Might as well enjoy a nice coffee at home, or watch TV, do all the things you like, play with your smartphone, iPhone. Or listen to radio and other things, or on your TV, the magic box. So all this is part and parcel of what the mundane mind will do. The mind that constantly lashes on to sense pleasure. They don't like to do things that they don't understand. So sloth and torpor is a result of not understanding what you do when you don't see the importance of it. Just like when you attend a lecture or a subject that you don't like, you feel very sleepy, like very boring. You don't know what the teacher is talking about because you totally got no interest or passion for it. But when the subject interests you, you are wide awake. You are very attentive because you see the importance of that subject. So meditation is the same. When you see the importance of this training, that it can free your mind, liberate you, and transform you completely from a heedless person to a very heedful and very noble person, then your life will take a turn and become so different. So it's worth it, isn't it? Worth the effort and try. So sloth and torpor, you can overcome easily when you see the importance of meditation. Then the fourth one is a universal problem, restlessness of mind, the agitated mind. Why is your mind restless, agitated? Because you have problem in there. What problem? Problems of life, like health problem. You worry about it. Then financial problem, you also worry about it. Then you have relationship problem, career problem, and all of life related situation and problem. Sometimes children's problem, in-law problem, neighbor's problem, everything create problem when you don't know how to handle them. So when you have problem, the first thing you do is to worry about it, which most people do. That's why without Dhamma, the end result is suffering. So when you worry, you become restless. Isn't it? Then when you worry, there's a lot of anxiety, isn't it? There's a lot of fear. Isn't it? So restlessness is a result of fear, worry, and anxiety. When you have problem and you don't know how to resolve it, then restlessness of mind come to be. Then sometimes in your work environment, career field, you are given deadline. You are subject to a lot of pressure and stress. There is so much fear and you cannot deliver. You become so restless. That's why people run away. Some of them enter depression. See psychiatrists and all those things. So these are very real hindrances. So if you subject yourself to this, then you suffer like nobody. Then the last one is doubt. When you don't understand what is going on, you start to doubt. Why am I like that? Why my life like that? Why God is so unfair? How come my friend so lucky? You keep on questioning. Understand? Well, you don't understand. So doubt is when you don't have confidence in yourself. You don't know what is going on. And another day you say, might as well die lah. That's why a lot of people become suicidal. Depression is because that thought becomes so negative. Then you have this problem with your thought process. They call it OCD. Obsessive and compulsive disorder. This thought. Because you think and think and think and think until that problem becomes so big. Actually, it was never there, but you think until it becomes real. Then that thought becomes obsessive and compulsive. It intrudes into your mind. It keeps on arising. And it creates fear, panic, anxiety, stress. That's why the people in depression, they are very miserable. I have met quite a number. And they actually relate to me. But through the Dhamma, they came out of it. And that is a permanent solution to it. But if you don't have the Dhamma, it's only temporary. They give you medication and other things. So this settles the five hindrances. You don't have to fight them, you know. These five hindrances will be there when you don't have the spiritual faculty. So what we do is, during our puja just now, we develop the spiritual faculty. That's why I said you must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding how special the Buddha is. He is the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, complete in enlightenment. Such a teacher is very difficult to come by. That's why you must have this very strong faith in him. The gratitude and respect for him is very, very strong, because he is supposed to be the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, because of his perfection, his cultivation. He's the fully enlightened. And his teaching can transform you from a worldly being, Puttijana, into an Arya, an enlightened being. And it can bring about great understanding that liberate your mind and enable you to disentangle yourself from all of those suffering that trigger off, from the so-called problems of life. All this can be understood and overcome once you develop the wisdom. So Saddha, that faith, will develop the second spiritual faculty, Virya, because you will drive yourself with this spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate, because this is so important to you, to your life. Then when you have these first two spiritual faculty developed, your faith very strong, your Virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to drive you to cultivate, then you will develop the meditation. And meditation start with training your mind to have sati or mindfulness. Now this word I have to explain a bit. Mindfulness is just awareness before the knowing, before the arising of the aggregate of mind, before the arising of thought. When you are silent, you already mindful. So how to be mindful? Very easy. When you pay respect to Lord Buddha, body and mind move as one without thought. That is mindfulness. When you walk, your body and mind move as one. That is mindfulness. When you're sitting also, your sight and the means your vision, which is your mind, and the phenomenal move as one. Yeah. Actually, there is no thought on. Hardly any thought. Yeah. There can be perception or whatever, but there is no movement. It's just aware. Then all this can be developed. So once Virya comes about, sati will automatically follow, because it will drive you to diligently cultivate. Then apart from bowing, you can also develop it through a formal meditative training, which I will give you the instruction now. Then once you develop sati, which is the most important spiritual faculty that you need to develop, the whole of meditation starts from here, sati, mindfulness. When you have mindfulness, you will be able to develop the last two spiritual faculty. Mindfulness will accumulate into samadhi, the collected mind, unwavering mind. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you will see things as they are with clarity. That's why wisdom arises, understanding arises, insight arises. So the five spiritual faculty, once fall into place, the hindrance will cease to be. And then your mind become very calm, very peaceful, very still, because sati and samadhi, you got no thought, understand? Then all your sleepiness, heedless thinking all gone. Your heedless mind that latches onto the sensual experience, like and dislike, pleasant, all no more. That's why you need to train this spiritual faculty. Then you can meditate very well. But it's easier said than done. So I will teach you a type of technique which they call mind sweeping method. So that you learn to sweep your mind from your forehead down to your leg. And buttock. Then reverse it. Sweep means no thinking. Just aware, relax, then move the attention to another part, again aware, feel, relax, no more thinking. That is to decondition the heedless thinking, the restless mind, the hindrance. So when you do more and more of this mind sweeping method, your mind will just be silent, aware to feel and just relax. When you are relaxed, you are peaceful. So this deconditioning of the heedless thinking through this mind sweeping method is very useful. Then I will combine with loving kindness as instruction for you to develop the inner well-being. So this inner peace together with this inner well-being will bring about the meditative state that you need to develop. Then after that, I will teach you anapanasati, the third column there. These are the instructions to meditate, to develop anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. First, you relax body and mind. Make sure backbone is straight. Then, you just maintain awareness around the nostril area where the breaths go in and go out. Then you just feel, like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing. Then when the mind detects the breathing, mind and the breath move as one without thought. But initially, if you are not trained, it will wander off. That's why the third instruction is, expect the mind to wander off, even a million times. But every time it wanders off, just patiently bring it back. Maintain this training until it does not run. And then when you get it, you will be very happy because the meditation will start. Anapanasati will start. Then when you can do it, your mind becomes very peaceful, very tranquil, very still. Initially, of course, it will develop piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, because without thought, the mind that is in sati or aware is with the moment without thought and is so peaceful. Then as you continue to relax and allow this mindfulness to develop, it will transform into higher state of mind. They will transform into sukha, which is a very blissful state, and you will like it, and you will like to meditate. Then after that, you will develop into pasati. Pasati is tranquility or stillness of mind. The mind like still, tranquil, no thought, no movement, silent. That is the meditative mind. That is the mind you need to develop. Then you stabilize it and use that to live life. And then you become heedful. Okay? So for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. I will off the light. Then for those who are new, you wait for the instruction. I will teach you the mind sweeping method, followed by metta. Then after that, anapanasati. Then I will let you meditate for about 15 minutes, then we will start session 2. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you have already trained your mind, you just silent and just go direct into anapanasati, or just develop the silent mind and maintain awareness to understand what is going on within your sense bases. The 5 aggregates of form and mind, the 5 mental hindrance, the 5 spiritual faculty as they arise and pass away, then the 18 sense rhyme, then the dependent origination, all this, you will start to weakness. You only need to silence your mind, so that you are aware when sense door consciousness come to be. Initially, it's your tactile consciousness, then your hearing consciousness, then your thought consciousness. In formal meditation, these 3 are more active. Okay, for those who are new and those who still need instruction, you listen attentively. Relax body and mind, completely relaxed. Make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone. Make sure it's straight, does not slump, straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then you close your eye, close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel your forehead, Feel it soothingly relaxed. Relax every part of it. Feel it soothingly relaxed. Then after that, you move your attention to your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscles are quite stressed up. So you just feel. Then relax every strain of your ciliary and eye muscle. Feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. Again, you check your facial muscle. Make sure it's all soothingly relaxed. You can go through your facial muscle and check if there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You release it, relaxes it. Then for those who are new, who may not know how to do it, there is a skillful means to help you. You learn to radiate a radiant smile by visualizing yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. You must visualize yourself radiating this radiant smile and feel the radiant joy and smile within your heart. And when you do that, you realize you automatically relax, because for the mind to be happy, to have this radiant smile, it has to have joy and happiness. And when you have joy and happiness, you are just relaxed. That's why your facial muscle just relax by itself. Then after that, you move your attention down to your neck. Feel relaxed. Shoulder, feel relaxed. Your hand, feel and relax. Back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart area or your chest area. And you just silent everything and just feel the heart or chest area. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just stay there. For those who are new, if you have not trained your mind, you will not be able to do it. Chances are you can't unless you have your past. Then it's okay. You just, like you feel your forehead, you just feel your heart area, your chest area, and relax them. Every part, feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax, leg, do the same, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the entire cycle. Leg, you feel, relax, don't think, buttock, feel, relax, abdomen, silent, feel, relax, stomach, do the same, feel, relax, then heart area, silent, feel and relax. You can feel and detect the vibration and happy, you stay there longer. You can use that as your object of meditation to anchor your awareness to the heartbeat or to any vibration within your body. Then after that, you move on to your shoulder, feel, relax, neck, feel, relax, hand, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move on to your facial muscle. By now, you should be more peaceful, more calm, and you can relax your facial muscle fairly easily. Then feel it soothingly relax. Then go to your eye muscle. Do the same forehead. Then after you have done that, you can start stabilizing this mindfulness, this awareness, this silent mind, by training your mind to develop anapanasati. Anapanasati comes from the Pali word. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. You just maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing now. When you detect your breathing, you just allow the mind to follow. Like the Buddha's instruction, he said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Continue to train this way. If you are not skillful yet, you have not done it before, if you are new, then this mind wanders off very fast. You will be very surprised. You can't even maintain awareness for 1 or 2 seconds. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. You every time have to bring it back to train. But it's quite easy actually. If you are patient enough, you've done it diligently, then it's easier than riding a bicycle, because bicycle you fall many times. This one you don't fall, you just mindfully bring it back. That's it. And you are patient enough, the mind will settle down and anapanasati will start to develop. When anapanasati starts to develop, you will know, your form and mind will know, you will be aware of it, because the mind and the breathing will move as one naturally without any hindrance. That's why you must breathe naturally. Don't force your breathing. Don't try to do anything to your breathing. Just allow the breath to be, then just maintain awareness. The mind and the breath move as one. Every time you wander off, bring it back. Wander off, bring it back. Until it's stabilized. If it's the first time you do, after about 5 minutes or what, I think you should be able to get it. Then you will be very peaceful. When this inner peace come about, normally it starts with what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture that arises when the mind is in sati, without thought. When you are without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. That's why it's very peaceful, it's very calm. Body and mind as one, in harmony, in perfect synchrony. That's why there is inner peace. Then after that, you can develop what they call loving kindness or metta to help you if you want to. But for those who already know how to do it, you don't need all of this. This metta, I forgot just now, you're supposed to do it in the early part. When you ready love and metta, when you are doing your facial muscle relaxation, you actually can also combine with loving kindness meditation. Maybe I just give short instruction on this. You can read it following what I recite. You can read it like, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Experience this well-being and happiness within each and every cells of your body. Then also within your entire mind state, your being. You can repeat one or two times, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite, may I, this body, you feel your body and mind of mine, feel your mind, be well and happy. You feel both your body and mind, the entire being, having well-being and happiness within. Then after that, you can continue to radiate metta. May this body and mind of mine to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You feel your body and mind free of all suffering, then you will become very peaceful, very, very peaceful. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then after that, you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your good friend, or somebody you care for. Then after that, you can radiate to all beings within this vicinity, all of Kayanamitas, and all beings within the entire galaxy and our universe. Then after that, you can come back to your anapanasati. So you just train your mind to develop anapanasati. Now I will let you meditate on your own. In about 15 minutes time, I will ring the bell. Then after that, if you still want to continue your meditation because you have the condition to go into it, you can continue. For those who have enough, they can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation after the bell. Eh? Then we can start our second session. Eh? Okay. teachers who still want to meditate, you can continue. For the rest who had a nap, you can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. You need to maintain this mind state that you have trained for as long as you can. Then later on, you need to stabilize this mind states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The silent mind, which is the meditative mind, is the mind that has been trained. When this mind has been trained, it's very useful. That's why the trained mind is very peaceful, very calm. It listens to you. When you want it to be silent, it will just be silent and peaceful, still, quiet. Then you will be aware. Then when you want it to arise a thought, perceive something, it's just there to do that. It's no longer like before, constantly heedless, wandering off, stirring, reacting, creating all the hindrance. When you are more and more mindful, more and more heedful, you start to see a lot of things. You start to understand a lot of things. You start to understand how you are conditioned into those various mind states of negativity in the past. And you understand why human beings who are heedless are very, very negative, full of problems. They entangle their life without understanding. Then you start to understand why all these hindrances can be so powerful. Because when you keep on reacting your mind that way through your heedless living, because you never train this mind, you never understand all these things, then every time you do that, it becomes a habitual tendency. You know, after so long, this habit die hard. So habitual tendency is very difficult to reverse. So that's why every time you see something, hear something, think of something, or smell, taste, and tactile feel something, your mind is so heedlessly reacting, commenting, judging, doing all these things. Then when you have problem of life, there is so much fear, so much restlessness, so much worry, so much anxiety, leading to all the sadness, sorrow and lamentation, the unhappiness. So all these are very negative mind state. But why do they arise in you? Why do living beings constantly haunted by all these things? Because they don't have the understanding and they don't train their mind, they are not heedful. So mindfulness is very important. When you train this mind to be aware, to be mindful, it is different. It is peaceful, it is quiet. The inner peace leading to the inner well-being will give rise to a lot of understanding through the clarity of mind. That's how you can develop wisdom, insight. Then the most important thing about meditation, which I have been repeating for many times, I hope you have get it, is the real meditation is not so much of your former sitting. Your former sitting is just to train your mind, actually. After you have trained your mind, then the real meditation starts. When you have stabilized your mindfulness, when you have the meditative mind of heedfulness, then real meditation starts. Means after you have trained this mind to be mindful, you need to stabilize it. After you stabilize it, you need to carry this state, mind state of heedfulness, awareness, inner peace and inner calmness into life, into the daily life. If you cannot maintain this type of mindfulness in daily life, there is no way you can cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. There is no way you can develop the real meditation. Because if you read through the Sutta, you will know the four foundations of mindfulness is very clear. it talks about the first foundation, Kaya Nupassana. Under Kaya Nupassana, there are six categories of practices. What we are doing here in the form of meditation is mainly the first category, Anapanasati, training the mind to be mindful. Then after that, the Buddha said, you must use this mind that has been trained to be in sati to do the four posture. You must be aware when you are sitting, when you are standing, when you are walking, and when you are lying down. It is four basic postures, so you cannot be aware. Then you cannot proceed to the third category of practice. The third category of practice is sati sampajana. You heard of this before, isn't it? Huh? How many of you heard of this before? Huh? Nobody heard of this before. Sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. If you meditate, you should know this word. This is what daily mindfulness is all about. The Buddha described under the sutta, you not only must be mindful, there must be clear comprehension of what is going on. First, he said, you must maintain clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Why are you meditating? Why are you training your mind to be mindful? To develop the insight, the wisdom leading to enlightenment and liberation of mind. And you have to be very sincere about it. Understand? You don't go and develop psychic out of it. Asana. You don't go and do other funny thing out of that meditation. Because the sincerity of purpose is you are very focused. Asana. You train this mind to be aware, to be mindful, to understand what is going on so that wisdom can arise, so that you can insight into the characteristics of nature, so that you can develop all the 16 stages of insight knowledges, leading to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. So when you are clear about this, means you have clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Then the second clear comprehension is the domain of cultivation. Means meditation is not just sitting, formal sitting. Just like the Buddha described under Sati Sampajana, clear comprehension of domain of meditation means you can meditate anywhere, anytime, any place. Technically, it's throughout the day. Initially, it's your waking moment. Then later, 24 hours, even when you sleep and rest. So, Sati Sampajana is clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Means you don't go and deludedly and gullibly and tell yourself, oh, I'm too busy, I'm working, I cannot meditate. I not retired yet. I got a lot of responsibility. I got to do this, I got to do that. Means you don't know what is meditation. Because domain of meditation is in the midst of life, you can meditate. In the midst of career, you can meditate. In the midst of doing your duty, running your errand, you can develop daily mindfulness and meditate. And I did it before. 30 years ago, I did it before. And it can be done. I also married, I also got children, I also got a very demanding career, and I'm a civil engineer, and I've done it, and it can be done. So that's why domain of meditation is very important. Then the third one is clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability of the locality, the time, the people. The most important time is now. The most important people are those that you are with. And the most important location is the place you are in. When you are here, you don't want to worry about somebody else somewhere else. That is not proliferating. So, clear comprehension of suitability is very important. The here and the now, the people you are with, are the people whom you can share and benefit. And this is the place you have to make use of. You cannot complain that this is not conducive. I go retreat, it's so peaceful. The setting is so tranquil, so beautiful. And then you have craving. In the midst of life, you can meditate. That's why I heard of this saying from one of my teacher. He just tell me during the early day, he said, you must meditate until in the midst of sound, there can be silence. Understand? Then after that, you move beyond that sound and silence. In the midst of activity that is going on, everything, physical, mental, and nature's activity, there can be stillness of mind with it. That is what meditation is all about. That's a clear comprehension of suitability of location, the people, and the moment. Yeah. So don't go and complain. Don't go and complain the school is lousy, the teacher is lousy, that's why I cannot do that well. But how come that school got top student? It's not the school and the teacher, it's you. If you never put in the diligence, the hard work to understand what you are doing, you're bound to fail. You will not succeed in life. Understand? So in anything you do in life, it's the same. You must be good at it in order for you to excel and become very good. Yeah. The last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. Non-delusion means no ignorance, no delusion. You never cling on to this form of mind thinking that it's you, that I meditate, there's a person who meditates. That's Sakkaya Ditti no more. Then non-delusion is also non-greed, non-ill-will, the evil roots, and non-fear. Means you must not have no selfishness, no greediness, covetousness, or craving and desire during meditation. You just meditate to develop understanding and wisdom. You are not deluded by the fantastic meditative state like bliss, concentration type of experience, fantastic meditative experiences. All those can come as a byproduct, but do not cling on to them. Do not become gullible. Yeah. So clear comprehension of non-delusion is very important. You are not deluded by the experience of meditation. Ultimately, whatever fantastic meditative experience you have, if it doesn't bring about wisdom, then just let it be. Asana is a conditioned state. When condition is there for it to arise, it will arise. And when it arises, you want to experience it, like the jhanas, the concentration, the piti and the sukha, have it, feel it, understand it, then see its characteristic, and just let things be. Then your mind will be very different, very peaceful, very tranquil, very still, and very silent. And if you understand very clearly everything that is going on with it for my mind, then like the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So if you seize the importance of this mind, that is the forerunner of all things. Whatever karma you create, it is all because of the mind. So this mind, the same mind, if you are not careful, if you don't take care of mind, if you are heedless, it can condition you into the next birth within the four woeful states. You know what are the four woeful states? There are 31 planes of existence. The lowest four are the karma dukkati, suffering world of the sensual realm. They are the hell realm, the animal realm, the beta realm, the demon realm. Yeah. These are the suffering states of being. So that same mind, if you are heedless, can take you down there. But if you are more heedful, more wholesomeness, less evil, you can be born as a human being. Then it can also condition you and give birth to deva planes existence. Then if you develop a certain type of concentration, meditation, that leads to all the jhanic state, then you go to the Brahma world. Then if you develop the formless jhana, you go to the Arupa Loka, the formless realm. So this mind can take you anywhere. But the best way is to develop wisdom to liberate this mind so that you don't have to take birth, so that you can transcend birth and death, so that you can realize cessation of form and mind, leading to the enlightenment or the realization of Nibbana. So when Nibbana comes to be, or is been realized by that form and mind, everything ceases to be. No more rebirth, no more suffering, no more arising of mind, no more craving. Everything ceases to be. Yeah. So this is the ultimate aim of Buddhist meditation. And the Buddha's teaching is very simple. It can lead to all this. Then you can live life totally different. It will transform you completely. Your personality, your character, your wisdom, your understanding of life completely transform. And you become a noble one. Yeah. Noble one means enlightened being, noble being. Enlightened beings are beings who are very noble in their understanding of life. That's why they got right view. And they are very noble in the way they conduct themselves. They got right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And they are very noble in every aspect of the practice. That's why they have this four right effort to constantly purify their action, speech, and thought process. Then they got this perfect continuous mindfulness throughout the day. Then their samadhi is very stable. Then they have the enlightenment factors within. That's why they are very different. They got no more ignorance, no more delusion. So this summarizes what you need to know about the cultivation and the practice. Finally, the real meditation is due daily mindfulness. When you train your mind to have a very stable sati, then you use it to cultivate daily mindfulness, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, that is apamada or heedfulness. Yeah. And when you have that heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 confirm. Yeah. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. That's why you need to train this mind, which is the forerunner of all things. Yeah. And when this mind is trained, it will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, just like your shadow that never leaves you. So these are Dhammapada verses, verse 2. That the Buddha talk about very frequently. Then if you are heedless, Dhammapada verse 1 will follow you. Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hood. Because if you are heedless means you couldn't care less. You never want to train your mind. You don't see the importance of it. So you don't care. That's why a heedless person couldn't be careless. He do what he like. So such a being, the Buddha said, they will act, speak, and think with an unwholesome mind, with a wicked mind, full of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And such a being, suffering will follow them, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the oxen's drive, means the balokat. So these are very, very clear dhamma that you must be fully aware of, so that you choose not to be heedless anymore, so that you determine to be heedful. And to be heedful is not difficult. You only need to train this mind to be aware, stabilize it, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, everything that you need is there, the four foundations of mindfulness, which include the Four Noble Truths. Everything is there. You have right view, reading, the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the four right effort to constantly purify all of your action, speech, and thought process, leading to the right mindfulness to constantly cultivate the four foundations, accumulating to the four noble truths, then the seven factor of enlightenment will come. And all this will complete the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. The final path factor is Samadhi. And with that, equanimity, upekkha will arise, the last enlightenment factor. Okay, now we can open up for session 2. Session 2 is reporting of meditation, followed by Q&A, question and answer. You can ask any question with regards to the meditation, whatever that you want to know and you don't understand. Then you can also ask me any aspect of the Dhamma. Then the last one, of course, is how to apply what you have learned here in the Dhamma to enable you to develop this meditation or to help you resolve all of your life problem and situation or suffering. Okay, now, anybody wants to report their meditation? Any question or not tonight? No written question. What about those new kids? Can you meditate? Cannot, huh? What happened to you? You describe what happened. Were you miserable? No, huh? Oh, then? Were you peaceful? You think a lot, isn't it? A lot of thought, isn't it? When you think a lot and you cannot move, how is that experience? This is against what you normally do at home, isn't it? At home you do what you like, isn't it? Oh, that's why you have a nice time. But here, like, boring. Mommy, Papa force me to come here. No, they don't force you. They love you. They want you to learn something that is very important for your life, for your future. Because this is something that money cannot buy. And when you know how to develop this meditation, I tell you, you will have a lot of gratitude for your parents or whoever who asked you to come here. As you go into life, you will experience the reality, then you will experience all of the suffering that comes with it. Your problems, your relationship problem, your life problem. Your relationship with people, all those problems will start to surface. And when you come out to work, you will be under tremendous pressure, stress and all those things. Then when you face society, life, not so straightforward. Then how are you going to develop the ability to be peaceful? Peace is very difficult to come by in true life within our society. But for those who have trained their mind, peace is so easy. Every moment they can be peaceful. So if you can be peaceful in the midst of life, then you got no more problem with it. Correct? But human beings' problem is they cannot be peaceful. Small things worry them so much. The hindrance, very easy to be triggered. And what we are talking about is still very mild hindrance, though. You haven't developed severe hindrance, the first noble truth reality, like death of a loved one. When you are confronted with all those critical disease like cancer, heart attack, stroke, HIV, all things. Then when you had this severe accident that led to paralysis, strokes and all those things, how are you going to face life? How are you going to come to terms with the reality of lives? Asana. Then if your thought is not able to develop the understanding, then this thought can make you miserable, I tell you. You can go into depression, you suffer like nobody. That's why develop this understanding and wisdom before you confront all these realities. Because life can be very difficult and suffering is very real, I tell you. Not easy to confront without wisdom. But when you have the Dhamma and the understanding and the wisdom, then life becomes beautiful. Because there is no such thing as suffering anymore. Understand? There is no such thing as problem anymore. You shouldn't believe when I say this world got no problem. You believe? You won't believe in that. There's so much problem. But we come and understand this through asking a very sincere question, through inquiry. Okay, now I ask you, why you say it is a problem? Why? Let's say health problem, financial problem, divorce, relationship problem. Why you call it a problem? Because you have attachment in it, you have craving in it, you have certain views and opinion in it. You think this body is you. It must not get sick, it must not get old, it must not die, correct or not? Other people can get sick, old and die, but this body cannot. My loved one cannot. Because of this attachment, that's why you suffer. Because you cling on to this. That's why you say, problem with my body. The doctor say, third stage cancer. Or fourth stage cancer. Then, fear, worry, anxiety, all this hindrance. Even everything, wrong thought come about. What is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, your delusion, your selfishness and emotional negativity. Are these all wrong thought? Then why you arise them? When you have attachment, you deludedly cling and hold. But if you perceive this, let's say health problem, cancer or what, with understanding, then it's no more a problem, isn't it? This become a reality, understand? Why I call it a reality? Because like the Buddha said, these are realities of life and existence. This is the way of the body, understand? The physical body go the way of nature. It's of the nature to decay, grow old, get sick and die one day. Because it's not you, it's only element. Element goes the way of nature. And this reality happens to every living being, understand? Not only you. It's a common universal problem. That's why suffering is a universal problem. It's a universal characteristic. If you live long enough, you will go through old age. You will experience old age sickness and death. Separation of consciousness from the form. What is the difference? The person who don't understand suffer, become miserable. The one who understand won't suffer. But he accept this reality as one of the reality, because this is the way of the form. When I accept, means what? I don't deludedly cling and grasp and say, this is me, this is I. Because without consciousness, it's only element. Then when the consciousness come in, it become animated into a human being. And you deludedly think this human being is you. That's why you worry about this mind and this physical form. That's why you deludedly grasp, cling. This is craving, the cause of suffering. If you don't grasp and don't cling, you perceive it with understanding, then think it's just the way it is. Understand? Why do I call it a problem? It's not a problem. Understand? Because you don't like to be sick. Understand? You cannot accept this reality. When I understand there is a reality, means what? I don't argue anymore. At the most, I told the doctor, or I talked to the doctor, can I have a second opinion to just reconfirm whether I really got this or not? If this is a reality established, I accept, understand or not? When I accept means what? I no more fearful or not. I no more regret or not. I no more arising all the wrong thoughts that make me miserable and suffer, understand or not? That's why there are two things that you can do in life. One is to be like a normal deluded person, react and become miserable. Develop all the fear, worry, anxiety, and attach, and complain, worry about life, never leave. But if you understand, you accept this reality, and just confront the reality with understanding and clarity of mind, then you ask yourself, okay, this is the reality of this form. So what are my options? What can I do? If I need to see another doctor to have a second opinion, I go and see. You know? These are more tangible, isn't it? Instead of worrying about life and arising all the fear, worry, anxiety, whoa, it's going to cost me so much. What happened, my boss? No, I will lose my job. All this is your thought projecting, creating all the fear. You know? This is what the Buddha mean by wrong thought. And what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, negativity. The evil roots. All of the negative state, they are all wrong thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path teach you how to arise the right thought through the right view. Because thought is mind. You understand? Mundane mind. And this mind is like a tool. Karmically conditioned out for you to use, to live life. Not to go and use it to arise wrong thought and make yourself miserable. Understand? That is the wrong way of using thought. Understand? So that's why the user of thought is very important. Understand? Like a knife. If you use that knife wrongly and use it to cut yourself and harm yourself and hurt yourself, that's the wrong way of using that tool, isn't it? You are using your thought exactly that way. Yes. You got a question? Yes. Yes. Last week what? Oh, very beautiful. I already shared in the tape. Oh, you didn't listen, huh? Oh, you were not around that. Were you around that Thursday? Last Thursday? Yeah. I shared. You didn't hear. Oh, you go and listen to the recording. It was recorded. This is the reality of this form, Manasana. Because when I was walking along that footpath, I was about to go to the bank. Not next morning, even that moment when I felt I was aware, I got a choice, like I say, I can decide to allow my body to fall on my back, then my head may hit the ground. But then the awareness said, no need, just let it be, and I just fall in front. That's why I got very little bruise on my hand here, a bit, very minor, because I got a foul that protected me, the plastic foul. But because of my age, then when I was actually stepping onto the flat concrete pathway, there was a drain without cover. They just did and no cover. So I lost balance, because when we walk on the flat, we anticipate hard ground at that level. Then suddenly, like nothing there. So the awareness was on something else, where I was looking at the foul. I need to look at something before I reach the bank, because there is a don't know what error code when I try to lock in something. So while I was looking at this, my leg went in and I lost balance. But I was fully aware. That's why I allow it to fall. But the moment this one hit, then I touched, I saw the blood. I knew. Normal people, a lot of pain already. But for me, there was complete silence at that moment. Because fully aware. Then like, there was nothing. No thought, nothing. Then I just touched. Then I knew. Bleeding. Then I saw here a little bit. Then this part. This part is the very minor, but already considered most severe. Because this is the part that, apart from the nose here, is this. So what happened was, I was quite near my office. So the first thing I need to do is, I do what I need to do. I didn't even go, nothing. I just accept that reality with the mind clear. Then I went to the office. As I walk up the office, they all got a shock where this blood was dripping. They thought I got a car accident. All this, the blood here was dripping down my hand. Then when I reached the office, I told the office girl, I said, get me the first aid box. Mr. Teo, you don't want to see doctor? Everybody was so worried. I said, don't need. Get me the first aid box. And you know what happened? Open up. Got the gorge. No yellow lotion. No plaster, nothing. The whole box was just the cotton wool went. Then I look at them and say, You all didn't check. No, Mr. Teo, last time somebody fell, they use until no more. Then you all didn't buy. He said, didn't last. Sorry. I said, it's okay. I said, my wife in the office. I said, you make the intercom call where my hand got blood. Call her, come down, go to pharmacy. My wife come down. She didn't panic also. She just follow instruction, go and buy yellow lotion. Then I apply myself. I didn't even go and see doctor until next day. Nothing. Because this is the reality. Happened already. Why you want to be miserable over it? There was no pain. Normal people would have been very painful. Even the doctor gave me painkiller. My classmate, he said, you need painkiller. It will last for 1 or 2 weeks. Then I just never complain, never say anything. I don't need painkiller. All this type of pain is nothing. It is the tactile consciousness. It's not really a pain. A pain is when you perceive it as negativity, that feeling. You don't like that feeling, then it becomes pain. Understand? But consciousness is just consciousness. Appearing, disappearing, appearing, disappearing. Understand? And nothing. Of course, at night when you sleep, normally it come and disturb you. It make you cannot sleep. Understand? Because it's painful. Understand? This is the reality of this form. Understand? It doesn't make me cannot sleep because I'm aware, I'm sensitive, understand? So that tactile consciousness was there, and I knew normal people would have become miserable. I can also tell you what happened many, many years ago, I think 15 years ago. Suddenly when I was walking, I hit something very hard, a metal piece or one, the leg here. Wow, normal people would have painful cry like anything already, understand? The moment I hit the tactile consciousness, I just knew. Then didn't complain nothing. I just laughed. That is the reality of this consciousness, understand? That's why it's totally different. Then when I was drinking that coffee that my wife made for me, the first time she forgot to put sugar, and I like sugar. The moment my taste bud go in the tactile consciousness, I knew there was no sugar. Then I laugh, then I call my wife, okay, come, you drink. Then only she realized, no sugar. I said, it's okay, we put sugar. That's why it's totally different. You become totally different. You're not like normal human being complain. All this, when it trickle off, the tactile consciousness, because you latches onto it, you have a view. You perceive it with negativity. That's why it becomes suffering. It becomes a problem. Whatever life situation that you confront, whether health problem, financial problem, career problem, if you perceive it with wholesomeness, you accept it as a reality of life, then you do what you have to do to resolve that life situation. You got no more problem in this world. Understand? Because you only have to accept that this is a reality. Understand? Then don't blame. Don't react. Understand? But can you do that? The problem is human being is so conditioned, the fear trigger off straight away. You don't believe, you go and find out yourself. That's why the Dhamma is so different. When you have the true Dhamma, what is that for? When you have the real understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, the understanding can free you, can liberate your mind. Your consciousness becomes different. That consciousness that is aware is still the same consciousness, understand? The only difference is there is understanding. There is no more delusion. And the aggregates are no more grasping aggregate, understand? It no more cling and hold, understand? There is word. Like that night, one of the lady there, seeing as they are, accepting as they are. These are words. But when you can do it with understanding, that is the reality. Can you do it? Yeah. When you can see things as they are, means you are not deluded by what you see, understand not? Because, wait, you listen. Normal human being, what you see is all based on your conditioning. Understand not? Because your views, your opinion, that's what you see with all your conditioning. As a Buddhist, understand not? As a Chinese, as a Malaysian, or as a Korean lady, they have these views and opinion. That's why you react. No, you judge.
It's love. And there is actual pain. It's pain.
Okay. You see, what is pain? Wait. Not only next day, that day itself, that moment itself is very severe for normal people. But what I want you to understand is, what is pain? Why do you call it a pain? Wait. Why do you call it a pain? Because you are conditioned not to like this type of feeling, isn't it? Because you have been conditioned and people tell you this is pain. Okay, I give you another example. Let's say when you are born, you are conditioned. There are certain people, they call what? Like very funny type of character one. They like to torture themselves one. Sadist. They cut. And they enjoy that, understand? Let's say when you are young, sour your mother tissue. Oh, this is nice. Sour, very nice. Then you don't like sweet one. You will like sour. Then when you have a cut, oh, this is good feeling. When you are conditioned, you will like this type of feeling, I tell you. It's conditioning. Why you react to it? Because you think it's a pain. You say it's tactile. Consciousness, when it arises, is just consciousness, like the Buddha said. In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. When the tactile consciousness arises, it's just tactile consciousness. That's why when you meditate, you will see all this. Even the so-called numbness, the severe pain, like your leg is going to paralyze. Understand? Yeah, you try next time when you go through it. So, is there pain? Then can you overcome it? Then why I can sit for 3 hours? There is no pain. Why you have pain? It's the understanding of it. Understand not? Of course, when there is certain injury or what, then that nerve, because this one is triggered off. Understand not? But it's the understanding of it. You don't perceive it negativity means what? Like I tell you just now. This is the reality. You got two choices. Worry about it, complain about it, and become miserable over it. The second choice is this is the reality. That consciousness is like that. Why I want to perceive it as pain and suffer? That's what the Buddha said, when body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. You understand that? Huh? You can understand? Huh? That's why when people sick, the mind also worry, mind also sick. Understand? Huh? But if the body is sick and your mind does not worry, you accept that reality and move. You are beautiful. Life is still beautiful. Understand? That moment is still beautiful. Yeah, there is this consciousness tormenting me. Correct. With the blood dripping. Normal people would have felt that thing. But when I accept that as a reality, with awareness, I just move. Understand? Not? That's why I say, if you try to use concept, knowledge to understand, it's very difficult. You have to develop that understanding. You have to cultivate. Even the very simple statement you can understand now is that when body is sick, the mind need not be sick. You can understand, not? Then, it's exactly the same. It's how you accept it. Because this is a reality. Let's say, I felt blood, the tactile consciousness, very severe. Normal people will have like, pain, yell, and all those things. But, because I understand this is a reality, I got two choices. Complain, react, and become miserable. Understand? The other reality is, happened already, what can I do? This is the reality. I accept. When I accept, my mind is at peace. Yeah, the consciousness is still there, but I never call it a pain. I call it a reality. That's not. When I am not resisting it, there is no aversion. There is no ill will. There is no dislike. There is no pleasant or unpleasant feeling towards it. Consciousness is just consciousness. It come and go, come and go. And moment to moment, you can feel it. Moment to moment, you experience it. Understand? But normal human being cling on to that sensation. They say pain. They are not aware. That's why you cannot see the moment to moment, the phenomena inside, the pulling and all those things. How this nerve trigger of that consciousness, where you never aware. That's why in the meditation when you sit, because 1987 or 88, there was one sitting, you know, I remember. Yeah, I was so determined, you know, to sit through. Then it's like last time the Buddha sit underneath the Bodhi tree. Yeah? He said not until he get enlightened he will not arise from the seat. Remember? Not even until his bone dry up, the blood, whatever, he will not arise from the seat. So I went and sit because I heard from my teacher, mind is mind, body is body, body never the mind never the body. So we choose to take care of mind. So when I sat, the pain came, no? Because we have been sitting for very long. They have the 8 precepts. So the pain came after 2 hours. And that pain was actually very severe. It's like the thought come and tell you, no? If you don't come up of it, your leg may paralyze. So severe. Then you know what happened? I was so determined. I said, never mind. Let it be. I want to see it through. So I continue to endure. That time I don't know how to do the real meditation. Yeah, I don't know how to relax into it and silence my mind. So I just endure. But luckily, I got very good path. You know what happened or not? As I continue to be aware and silent, then my mind didn't react to it because I learned to accept that reality. All of a sudden, I was so surprised. Suddenly there was a flash of very bright light went through my mind. The next moment, I checked. Completely gone now. That so-called pain and all that, completely gone now. Flashes off. Then the mind was full of awareness and energy, so bright, you know, so clarity. Then I look again now. Hey, I saw the phenomena as the phenomena. The mind and the phenomena are two separate things now. The mind is not attached to it now. There is no grasping at all. These two are separate now. And this is the real first jnana. Nama rupa paricheda jnana. Able to discern clearly between form and mind. The mind is separate. The form is the form. And the two, they are not one. The awareness. No, the awareness. Then I check, no. I don't believe, no. How can the pain just disappear? I check everywhere, no. Oh, marvelous. Not there anymore, no. Because when that thing flashes through, the body relaxes, the awareness came in, no. And the whole thing flow like in perfect harmony. Then from that day onward until today, I got no more pain as problem.
Explains why the monk actually some monk burn themselves and they're able to sit and then burn themselves for normal human.
Yeah. That is psychic. That one is psychic. They through psychic they enter jhana. When you enter jhana you cease all your feeling. The feeling aggregate, they cut it off, but they go into absorption. The jhanic state is so still the consciousness cannot arise. You see, what people tell you is what you heard, understand? But no, it's different. The mind that see the rupa, you also can see now, understand?
No, but like what you said, when you're meditating,
there is no me meditating. There is just the consciousness, the awareness, the awareness. It's just the awareness. There is nobody there, understand? The awareness is just aware, understand? When there is a sakkaya ditti that link, then that one become my feeling, understand? Then the grasping aggregate catches it up. That time I don't understand, I don't know how to relax. Then all of a sudden that energy came, it flashes through. It must be from my past, otherwise it cannot come. Then the whole mind here bright. One light, very, very bright. Then after that, full of energy, full of awareness, totally alert. Then that whole pain, which was so strong just now, suddenly just vanished. Then I don't believe, no, I check now. I was meditating, then with a silent mind, it just went down and checked. Everybody checked. The phenomena, the pulling was so clear. It's still there, the tactile thing still there. But the mind is separate from it. No more sensation that grabs and cling. Then after that, it knows because it is not relaxed. That's why after that I know you have to relax. The moment you relax, this state will arise. There is no more pain. That's why the yoga, they are so flexible. They can balance. No pain, no. Then they can just relax into it. You just do it, then you will find out for yourself. Otherwise, it will become like a doubt, understand? Can be done, sure, the doubt is a hindrance again. But when you develop the faith in the Buddha Dharma, then it's totally different here. Oh, yeah. The Buddha has realized enlightenment. So definitely this enlightenment is possible, understand now? So why not give it a try? So with that faith and confidence, it will become no more doubt, understand? Then you will move into it, understand? And then you will diligently develop the virya. That's why sadha will lead to virya. The tenacity to cultivate, to practice. Then you will develop the sati, the mindfulness. And then you train your mind. You develop exactly what the Buddha advised you to do. Whether you do anapanasati or not is not important, but any mental object of meditation that you are familiar with or is suitable for you, you can use them. It's just to anchor the mind, a skillful means to train your mind. When your mind is already trained, means it anchors the mind to the object of meditation. So that is with the moment. Silent and aware. Then you need to stabilize this. And then after that, use this to meditate. Use this to be aware of your four posture, all action and movement in the present moment. Yeah. Clear comprehension. Then after that, use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. The awareness will allow you to see your ill roots, your greed, your hatred, your delusion, your fear. Your mental negativity, which is the intention, chitena behind. Your selfishness, your envy, your jealousy, your craving, your covetousness, your lust. You see them all inside your mind. That's why when your mind has sati, mindfulness, there is clarity. Well, you don't think. That's why you are very sensitive. Sensitive in a positive way, you know. Not when you use the word to address, hey, that guy is very sensitive. Not that type of sensitive. Sensitive means he's sensitive over small thing that you talk and gossip about him or her. But here, sensitive means your mind is very, very alert, understand? Very attentive and can feel everything, can understand everything. That's like the mental intention. You can see your own selfishness, your subtle greed, your subtle defilement, your subtle what they call mana, subtle ego. So all this when you develop the mindfulness, you see them. Then before even this one come out, before it stir, you can prevent it from arising. That's why there is a four right effort. The four right effort to abandon the first one, the wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action that has arisen. Then later on when you are skillful, before it arises, the unwholesome thought, the unwholesome speech, before it come out, or the unwholesome action, before it become transgression, you can prevent it from arising. Right effort to prevent it from arising. But this one will know, before it stir, it cannot come out already. Yeah. The intention is very fast, like split second, lightning speed. But when you are mindful, you know straight away, before it stir, this one move. That's why you are aware. And it's very, very different. Then when you are aware, you cannot do anasana. That's why you cannot break your five reasons. Impossible. You know how difficult it is to kill a mosquito. No? To you, it's very easy. Puff. You know how many things must happen before you can kill a mosquito. First thing is what? You hear the insect sound and the mosquito. Yes. Then, your aversion towards it is there. Where your condition you don't like. The fear. And this. Malaria. Your life is more precious than the mosquito. Then what happened? The intention to kill were very fast. Or you say nuisance. You just want to. You got this aversion, ill will, the slight dislike, but you are not aware. That's why you immediately become habitual and your hand just go. Understand? So if you cultivate mindfulness, you cannot do, understand? First thing, through hearing consciousness. Then the aversion towards it. Understand? All this you fully aware. Understand? Then when you want to move your hand, kaya nupasala, you are aware. And you still allow it to move. Then when you want to hit the mosquito must still be there, only you can finish all the killing. You know? That's why it's so difficult to make it happen anymore. But this hand cannot move. It's aware, understand? But normal human being is heedless because of habitual tendency. You don't even know how your hand moves. Understand? The only thing you know is pop. Whether the mosquito is still there or not, I don't know. Or you think of Martin, you go quickly or shall talk. And how you go there, how your hand take also you're not aware. And you say you cultivate vipassana. That is what is happening to the community. When all these things are happening, that's why when you cultivate the five precepts, you renew your five precepts, you think it's a joke. To the cultivator, it's a very serious matter. No? You undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living. You know how difficult to cultivate no, that precept. You have to be ever mindful. No? That's why precept is to support you to develop the mindfulness to cultivate so that you can maintain that precept. So that you, like the Buddha said, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami means what? I undertake the training rule. I have to train myself to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. How can I do that? I have to be mindful of my intention to kill. Understand? Through what? Through selfishness. Understand? Through anger, aversion towards that mosquito. Understand? That's why all these are the evil root. But nobody tell you that this is the cultivation. Nobody tell you this is the Dhamma inside. Understand? It's just keeping one precept. And there is so much cultivation involved and Dhamma involved. And it supports your cultivation. That's why when you keep your precept, your mindfulness is very sharp. But most cultivators got it the opposite. Because I went to retreat during the early day, I experienced all this, I saw what they tell me. Precept become a burden to them. You realize or not? They complain inside there. Right, yo, after a few days, especially the last 2 days before they go back, I got a lot of dirty thoughts. I lot of got craving, you know, I want to eat char kway teow, all those things, right? Yeah? Vegetarian, or one meal a day. That craving start already. Yeah? She said, oh, this thought come, no, how to keep the precept is there? Then remorse. I just step on an ant. Oh, I just accidentally caused that plant to what? I say, you come here to meditate, to train your mind, to develop the meditation, to develop the inner awareness. You are worrying about all these things. So precept become a burden to him, understand? Not? Instead of supporting his cultivation to be mindful, understand? Not? Even if you make a mistake, if unintentionally you kill, or you already kill, understand? Not? What can you do? That is the reality. Remorse also no use, understand? Not? Maybe you should ask for forgiveness. And that is important, understand? Not? Forgive me for I never really had the intention to do it, I never see. And wish you well and happy. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you after your immediate passing away from these are more tangible. Go and worry about it and remorse away for what? Then whole day cannot meditate. Then you go to retreat for what? Understand? And you don't laugh. This is what is happening in the retreat, understand? Where nobody teach them how to cultivate precept, understand? How to develop mindfulness. And this is what is happening in real life. That's why you can laugh. Huh? Okay, 10:30. We better end. Huh? 2 minutes past. Okay. We will do the sharing of merits. Huh? Okay, sharing of merits to the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang minyatinang hotu sukita hontunyatuyo. Idang minyatinang hotu sukita hontunyatuyo. Idang minyatinang hotu sukita hontunyatuyo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, the last one, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we end. Huh? Pay respect to Lord Buddha. Then I wish you all a happy coming Merry Christmas and New Year. Huh? So learn to be more and more heedful. Huh? So see you next year. Huh? I think the class only begin after The first week, on the 9th, January. Second Thursday of the year, 9th of January 2014. So very fast, it's 2014 already. So whether you leave or you don't leave, time passes by. That's why they say, time and tide waits for no man. The ancient Bible in Mandarin, you all can collect from my wife. Even if you